This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, here on the Wednesday talk show, we have in studio Lynn Sellers and Kim Draper, a couple of ladies we've had on the air before. We're talking about National Autism Awareness Month and some of the activities that go along with the Autism Support Connection, which is the acronym is TASC, which is something that is very unique to Montgomery County. And before we went on the air, ladies, I likened it to a lighthouse or a beacon for the area, because it really is that sort of an organization, because there's just not many people around and many organizations around that deal with autism.
Right.
So, but Lynn, good morning. And Kim, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
And we are Montgomery County based. However, we've had families, individuals from Bond County, Christian County,
Macoupin, Fayette.
So we tell anyone and everyone, come on by.
Let's back up and start with autism. Autism is a wide spectrum.
That's correct.
It takes in a wide range of different, I guess, acts, attitudes, stuff like this. And Lynn, let's start with you. Give us a general description of autism, and what we can, and the numbers are staggering.
Well, I'll let Kim talk about the clinical part of it, but my son was diagnosed when he was 3 years old, and at the time, the ratio was 1 in 150 children were diagnosed. He just turned 11, and as of last year, the CDC said that there was 1 in 50. So, in just really a short period of time, considering their and part of that is that there's better diagnostics and identifiers. But I know the saying is when you see one child with autism, you know you've met one child with autism, because of there being so many different variables.
And that's where that wide spectrum comes into play, Terry, as you said. Mm-hmm. You can have a child very mildly involved or very severely involved, or those in between. And they define it as a neurological disorder and characterized by difficulty in communication. So you might have a child that's very communicative, or a child who will never communicate verbally. And again, everyone in between. There's also impairment with social reactions and interactions. And then you also have, as we were talking earlier, sensory issues. Lights that are too bright, or sounds that are too loud, things with smell, the way things feel on their skin. Those can be factors in helping to diagnose autism as well.
Kim, is the difficulty in diagnosing autism only because so many of these factors affect, maybe one of those factors affect me, and I'm not autistic, but we as humans share some of this stuff, right?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we all have our little quirks, but in order to have the label autism, you have to have impairments in those different areas, not just one area that defines you maybe as quirky or it's your little thing.
Our Persian flaw.
Right.
Just like the Persian rugs, right?
Exactly. But there's no blood draw. There's no CAT scan. Mm-hmm. There's no genetic, this is what it is. It's observational. And I never feel comfortable. I work in early intervention, so I'm working with kids ages 0 to 3. And it can very reliably be diagnosed as early as 18 months. I know some people disagree with that, but you don't have to wait until they're in school. You have to get that intervention started early. So if you're pulling a team of people together, when my boys were both diagnosed, there was a pediatric doctor involved, speech therapist, occupational therapist, the school psychologist, anyone in the family. Family knows our kids the best, their input, and all the paperwork that they fill out. Everybody's coming together to look at all the information and say, yes, we feel this is a reliable diagnosis, and it is autism.
Who was the first person that brought it to your attention? Was it you that maybe had thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. observing especially my youngest son, who's now 11 and friends with Lynn's boy, Nate. 3 years old, he was, or actually I'll go back to 18, 24 months. He was crawling and looking at the floor. And instead of crawling and looking at the floor for the next toy or something that typical kids would be looking for, he was looking at the lines, individual lines in the floorboard. And he was so stimulated by those, he would rock back and forth on his knees. And that's not typical for kids to do that.
Because they get up and go. I mean, they're often chugging along.
They could care less about the lines in the floor. That doesn't mean anything. But for him, and he was that way with parallel lines. If it was a fence row, if it was a train track, if it was the counter in the kitchen, anything that had that parallel line, he was fascinated with. Now, not so much anymore, now that he's 11, but early on, that was his thing. And things that didn't spin, he wanted to spin. Spun blocks, he spun cars, the wheels, everything that was spinnable. That's what he did. Instead of back and forth with a little car, for some reason, that was his thing. Doesn't do that anymore, but those were things that were like, I think this kid, we might be looking at that label. Yeah. So
that would be typical action for your child at that age.
Exactly.
But he might be the only one that would have that. Because another child would have some other sort of...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He made great eye contact. Mm-hmm. He was very cuddly. He wasn't, defensive about touch. So, there's a lot of characteristics. You can't just say, they look at us and they don't seem to mind me touching, therefore it's not autism. You really have to look at every individual, as mm-hmm. Lynn said. It's going to be different for everyone.
As is the case with so many different medical issues and health mm-hmm. issues, the question of education comes into play here. And autism is a perfect example of this, I think, mm-hmm. where we're getting more and more information out here, thanks to people like you. But still, there's a big need to get the information out there and to get some screening done. And for kids who have not been diagnosed with autism, that wide spectrum that we've been talking about, once they get ready to get into school, is this where a lot of them are identified with autism?
Yeah.
Screening for school?
Yeah.
Actually, that's where my son was. It was identified. I had thought that seeing some behaviors with him, he was stimulated by letters and words and began spelling words at an extremely young age. And I kept taking him back to the doctor and saying, is this okay? Should I be concerned? But then I began to see he used to eat everything under the sun. And then his choices for food narrowed down to where he literally ate nothing but French fries and pudding for about two solid years before he was would even consider trying something else, and that's a texture issue. So he was 3 years old and being screened for early intervention in the school system, and they accepted him into the program, and then different ones began to observe the behaviors, and it took a while. But the speech therapist at that time, after watching him for a long time, said, I think that this is hyperlexia, which is on that spectrum. And it is a person, they learn a language not by hearing it. They learn it by reading it. And they have that gift, I guess, that a gifting from basically birth of being able to pronounce a word, spell a word, and that sort of thing. And so that's where it came for us.
So the spectrum of autism is about, and we hear people talk about depression with the chemical reactions mm-hmm. in the brain. Mm-hmm. Is this more with the electrical connections in the brain?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, there's something in the brain that's not connecting those synapses. It's not considered a mental disorder or emotional disorder. They can have depression later, yes, because it can, you know, be a comorbid thing that comes along because perhaps they're getting bullied or kids are treating them differently. Or, you know, if depression runs in the family, that might be something that goes with it. But it's not really autism equals depression. It's something that, you know, can co-occur with that.
I guess an analogy would be in the current day and age with automobiles and all the little computer doodads and everything. If one blows out, the car doesn't start. So something similar to this, right?
Exactly. That's a great example of, you know, trying to relate that to the common person who maybe, well, I just don't understand autism because they look normal. You can't see a cast. You know, there's no wheelchair, you know, so
no
why
blood being drawn.
Why are they behaving that way? Well, they must have a bad parent. They're a bad kid. Mom must have done something wrong prenatally. But like you said, Terry, I think educationally we're getting that word out. It's on the newsstands when you're standing at Dollar General or Walmart. They talk about different stars, actors that come out with, we have a child, or there's an athlete that talks about my child. And so I think people are like, oh, even famous people can have that. And now I'm starting to understand a little more.
And I forget the article I read, but the number of creative people in music, in theater, in literature, most of these people have suffered some sort of spectrum, you know, been affected by this sort of thing. It's amazing.
It is.
Then the brain just, you know, is wired different, a little bit different. But later in their careers, they just blossom.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, wow.
Yeah.
Humans are such strange, we're such strange creatures, we really are.
And often, like, if you go back as far as Einstein, they didn't know what that was called. Yeah. He was brilliant, genius, but he was so focused in his smartness that was his thing. And a lot of our kids do at times will focus on a certain thing, and it might be music, it might be vacuum cleaners and how they work, it might be something as bizarre as that, or maybe Star Wars, or memorizing dialogue from movies. But again, you're talking about visual things that are stimulating. And like Lynn said, you know, you can talk and talk and talk, and they're like the Charlie Brown cartoon where the teacher's wah-wah, wah-wah, wah, and then you might get a word. But if you show it to them and you visually write out a schedule or you have a picture or you have something, that helps to maybe decrease the anxiety, decrease the, I don't want to transition, this is too difficult for me, but help support that need for them. So
there are tools to help.
Absolutely.
Great tools to help. And that's where you guys come in with TASK.
Well, we hope so. That's our goal, is to be a support and to provide education and resources. And it, you know what? It just changed my life by knowing I'm not alone. That, you know, nobody maybe has the answer, but we're all in this together.
Absolutely.
Are the kids, and you don't have to answer this, but are the kids part of the normal school classroom?
Yeah.
Yes. They are, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. We are very fortunate in the Hillsborough District, and not every district is like this. But our boys have been fully integrated with kids who are typical. And their kids, the classmates become, as Lynn said earlier, protective of them. They get it. They understand because they've been with them since they were 3, 4, 5 years old. And they just know that's how that child is.
They've been educated.
Yes,
they've
absolutely.
They've seen it firsthand. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Now the Autism Support Connection, the TASK group, and we could talk about autism for hours upon hours, but I want to make sure we get this before we run out of time. The TASK group, the organization, has a special day coming up.
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. There are different dates in April because of the awareness, to go through those, and then I'll really focus on the 12th. This Saturday, April 4th at 12:30, there will be an Easter egg hunt. Barb and Sam Whitlow, we have to give them credit because at 12 o'clock, they have an egg hunt for just children.
And the Saratoma Club.
Saratoma, exactly. And so when the typical egg hunt is done, they have the egg hunt for the kids with special needs. And it's not just autism. Anyone can come.
That's
and
right.
They have been, you know, a godsend to our group. They're just absolutely wonderful, Barb and Sam. Then right after the 12:30 Easter egg hunt, we're going uptown to the Orpheum Theater to watch a sensory-friendly film. Lights will be up, so it's not a complete dark theater, which our kids mm-hmm. need. We adjust the sound. And it's okay if they get up and move around or laugh a little bit too loud or quote some dialect or they, hey, Mom, did you see that? You know, we're okay with that. Our kids need to do that.
You know what? People do go to ball games all the time and do that.
Right.
It's
exactly.
just another form of entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lynn was very instrumental in getting that started. That's kind of how TASK came together. She approached the Eisentrouts, and they put all of that together. And we are the first Saturday every month, 1 o'clock. And we are paying TASK. We are paying the admission. If they want to bring their own food and own drink, that's great. The Eisentrouts are perfectly fine. You know, if there's something special the child needs. April 9th is our monthly TASK meeting. And mm-hmm. Lynn has arranged for our entertainer. And who is that, Lynn?
That's Professor Longhair, and Miss Jill will be providing family fun entertainment for our families. But I do want to make special note that this month, it's just an exception because of double booking. Our meeting will not be at the Free Methodist Church this month only, but it will be at the Montgomery County Health Department.
Okay.
So,
but then it goes back to the church.
Yes.
Okay.
So
correct.
On the 9th, come, bring your kiddos, and have a good time with Professor Longhair and Miss Jill.
We've got about 3 minutes left, ladies. Let's make sure we touch on everything here.
The last Saturday of the month, April 25th, from 3:30 to 5:30, we will be swimming at Fusion. And again, TASK will pay for admission for all of our families to come to that. Mm-hmm. The big event that's happening in April is the 12th, and we're going to be second year in Autism Support Day up at the Nisley's Bowling Alley. And Jean Nisley, Lynn Fugate, Jeannie Winkler were very instrumental in getting this done last year, and so we've expanded our group who's pulling this together. And they're going to have several activities to help raise money. They're going to have a bowling tournament. They're having spaghetti, salad, garlic bread, and drink for $7 starting at noon. If you want to donate for the bake sale, you can do that. There are prizes, silent auctions. We have all kinds of gift baskets and gift things that you can bid on in the silent auction. Any of those things can be dropped off to Nisley's Bowling. Mm-hmm.
And if you have questions, call me here at the radio station.
Yep.
I'll make sure it gets to the right people.
Right. Exactly.
And the all donations funds will go to help both our group TASK as well as projects for the school, local school.
And about the last minute we have here, I mentioned earlier, TASK is the beacon for this area. There are not many groups like you.
You have to go to Springfield or the St. Louis area.
And the neat thing about your organization is when you have a meeting.
We have child care.
There
you go. And I was insistent. We have teachers, retired teachers. We have a speech therapist. We have behavioral specialists, special education teachers. So when you go, you know your kids are being very well taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. You can go to the meeting and know that there are others who are going through the same thing as you.
Ladies, we may have to continue this very soon in another Wednesday talk show.
Yeah.
But you are extremely informational, and I appreciate you coming out, and I hope you have a terrific turnout on the 12th.
I hope so, too. Thanks,
yes.
Terry.
Oh,
thanks.
It's wonderful having you here with us on the talk show today. We've been talking with Lynn Sellers and Kim Draper, representing the Autism Support Connection TASK, and their big event coming up on April the 12th. But they have events all through the month, and if you need more information, you can contact Kim Draper or Lynn Sellers, and they would be more than happy to share that information with you. And if you need numbers, you can always call me here at the radio station. I'll make sure you get numbers, all right? Thank you, ladies, so much for being with us today. That's
Thank
it for
you.
The Wednesday Talk Show on WSMI. Thanks for tuning in.